Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us. Today we're talking about the night skies and the pull they seem to exert on us. Have you ever stayed up into the wee hours to glimpse a meteor shower or gazed at the night sky in search of shooting stars or twinkling constellations? Most of us, young and old, share a curiosity about our solar system and what lies beyond. In this hour, we have a chance to speak to local astronomers about their passion for all things celestial and to hear your stargazing stories as well. If you've had a memorable experience peering through a telescope or taking in the wonder of the heavens, share it. Give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send us an email, midday@wypr.org. Here with me in Studio A are Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long, volunteers with PopScope, a mobile astronomy project taking root in Baltimore. The project has teams in Ottawa, Philadelphia, New York City, Jacksonville, and Baltimore. Its mission is to connect diverse communities to the night sky and to each other by hosting free astronomy nights in public spaces. Ariel Hicks is co-team leader with Baltimore's branch. Welcome to Midday, Ariel.
Thank you for having us.
And Joseph Long is a volunteer with the organization whose day job is a research and instrument analyst at Baltimore Space Telescope Science Institute. The institute is the science operations center for the Hubble Space Telescope and for the James Webb Space Telescope. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined today by Herman Hine, Baltimore's street corner astronomer, the city's self-proclaimed star hustler. Herman Hine has been a professional amateur astronomer since 1987, and his telescope can also be found in Fells Point. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Sheila.
I'm very glad that you are with us. But let's start with PopScope. What is the background of PopScope? How did it get started?
So PopScope was started by Viva Dadwal and Michael O'Shea in Ottawa, Ontario. And they started
about it. How long ago?
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, it's new.
Yes, it's fairly new. We have five branches, as you said. And PopScope is more recent to Baltimore. We started in February of 2015. And so it's really taken off the way that people have gotten behind public astronomy in Baltimore. The reaction is always, wow, when they stumble upon us.
Well, what is it? I mean, what do you do exactly?
So we take a telescope out into the community and just pop up with it. We have two different types of events, organic and planned. And so sometimes we'll just pop up, we'll tweet out our location and see who shows up. And we try to put ourselves in places where there's a lot of foot traffic so we know that we're going to be interacting with a lot of people.
Who does show up?
Tons of people. We try to connect with people on an online basis and then also in person. And so, like I said, we try to put ourselves in places where we know there are going to be a lot of people so that we can kind of create those connections, like Penn Station, or we go to Lexington Market or Patterson Park, or areas where we know people are going to be congregating.
So I'm thinking, I don't tend to look up much when I'm in those places. Do you also, I mean, I presume you need to find a place where there's some break in tree cover. I mean, how do you, Joseph, how do you pick that aspect of where you go?
So we look at where the most interesting targets are going to be over the course of the evening and try to line ourselves up so that we have a clear view of the path they take over the sky. So in a really built-up urban area, that might be trying to find a place where you can see all the way down the street without anything obscuring your view, and try to track the moon as it goes across the sky. Actually, one of the we set up once in a parking lot, which was just like a big open space in the middle of densely built-up city blocks, and it was close enough to the sidewalk that we got people to come in.
So people would look over and see this telescope, and it would interest them.
Well, Ariel has a talent for just engaging people as they're walking by. And a lot of times when people find out that there's no strings attached, we're really just here to show you the night sky, if you have a free moment, they're like, of course, I have 30 seconds to come and take a look.
Yeah, and you know, it truly does only take about 30 seconds to look through the telescope, and it's made your night something completely different from what you thought it was going to be.
So what is your patter? What is your pitch, Ariel? If I'm walking
the subway and I'm kind of distracted. It's been a a hard day or something. How how do you even approach me and how do you convince me that this is something I want to do?
You know, oftentimes people just want eye contact and just to feel like something exciting is happening. So if you're standing there with a telescope, first of all, that's kind of funny because you're in Baltimore City and people automatically go, well, isn't there too much light pollution? And you say, no, the moon is very bright. And even though it's so ordinary, we often ignore it. And so you call out to a person and you say, hey, take a look at the moon with me. And oftentimes people will say yes. And if they say no, then that's okay. But 90% of the time, they're excited about it. Yeah.
So you don't try to talk anybody into it.
No, you really don't need to. It's pretty, people get excited about it on their own.
So Hermann Hein, hearing Ariel and Joseph describe PopScope, what goes through your mind? How does it compare to what you have done for almost 30 years now as a street corner astronomer?
Well, I think they are doing a great thing by traveling around town and taking telescopes where I don't go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, Ariel, I think the telescope attracts just all by itself.
That's true.
That's what I find in Fells Point, where I set up mainly.
How did you get started?
There's two answers to that question. Number one, I got started with Miss Wicker in astronomy in the eighth grade, long time ago.
Uh-huh. She drew the eighth grade at what school?
Garrison Junior High School.
Okay.
She drew the Big Dipper on the blackboard one day and told us to go out and find it that night. And that's the first night in the whole year that I had done my homework. I found it and got hooked, and I've been hooked ever since.
So you got hooked on stars right then and there when you could see the Big Dipper and it matched what you'd see on
the blackboard. And that was in Baltimore when there was not real bad light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
This is inside the city and I could see the Big Dipper real well.
Well, I could probably do the arithmetic, but you can do it faster. How old were you then?
About 14.
And that was 19?
About 1945 or something like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot less.
And then
light
the
pollution.
Second answer to the question is on November 13th, 1987, it was a real beautiful evening. Moon was up, Jupiter was up, had nothing else on my card. I said, I'm going to take my telescope to Fells Point, just spontaneously unrehearsed. I'd been working as a substitute teacher, and as I was going out the door, I took a hat with me. That was a sort of an afterthought. Put it 15 feet away from the sidewalk, and people were from my telescope, and people were saying, "If you had a hat, I'd give you a tip." And I made $10 that night.
And that really wasn't what you were expecting when you decided to share your telescope.
No, that wasn't part of it.
What kind of telescope did you have, and how had you been using your telescope?
I still have the same one. I bought it in 1981. It's 35 years old now.
Okay, and how had you been using it?
Just at parties and just to entertain people, and once in a while for myself, but mainly just for other people to look through.
So what possessed you to take it out on the street?
The first telescope I ever looked through was up in Times Square when I was maybe 10 or 12 years old at the moon.
Uh-huh.
So I knew that street telescoping was possible.
Gotcha.
And I guess that was what was in my mind. I knew it was possible, and I decided to try it.
And aside from the $10, and I read that the next...
$40 the next night.
$40 the next night,
and
right.
And then I was hooked.
That hooked you also.
And that got me out of that substitute teacher's job.
Really?
Yeah.
How quickly did you decide this could actually be an income stream on which you could live? You had a family.
Within 2 days. No, I was divorced then.
I see. Well, you had kids.
Yeah, I had kids, but that wasn't an issue.
Okay.
As I recall.
But, so you really that quickly decided that you could make enough.
Well, I was also at that point getting a Social Security retirement check.
I see.
So it supplements.
I see.
It supplemented that, and it still does.
But all of you see, all of you think it's normal to stand up a telescope and invite people to look through it. Why is that normal? I mean, what what inspires you that you think this is worth your time?
Well, I'm not sure that I think it's normal. I think that's why I'm drawn to it, is because it's not normal. We go to these places as Popscope. We go to these places where people aren't normally with a telescope. And that's what's so attractive, and it creates those conversations that don't normally happen. So when you're standing out there with a telescope, I've said this before, you're talking about space. People come up to you, ask you all these questions about space, and then suddenly you're not talking about space anymore. You're talking about real issues that are happening in Baltimore City and around the world, and it really lays this safe foundation to have tough conversations. And I think for me, that's why I do Popscope. I also love space, of course, but it's really that community aspect of it that's so beautiful for me.
This is Midday on WYPR. We're talking about public astronomy. You just heard Ariel Hicks, who is the co-leader of the Baltimore branch of Popscope. And also with us is Joseph Long, who volunteers with the mobile astronomy project Popscope. And Baltimore street corner astronomer Herman Hine is here with us. You can be part of this conversation. Do you have a telescope? How do you use it? What do you think about the way these folks are using a telescope? Give us a call at 410-662-8780 or email us at midday@wypr.org. Ariel, you said you're talking about space, and then all of a sudden you're talking about things other than space. Home in on that. What's happening there?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that why? And does that always happen? Or are there times when somebody just wants to talk about the stars? Herman, what's your experience?
Number one, it's very exciting. You meet everybody and anybody, a great variety of people. And most of them never look through a telescope, and they don't even know much about the planets or the stars at all. And this is sort of a big eye-opener for them. I don't personally get into political discussions or local situations. It's mostly just about, you know, what we're looking at. Or who are you, where are you from, and if you go to school, what are you taking, and things like that. But just in general, it's very exciting because the people get very excited. You get a great response.
What kind of, tell me some of the responses.
Well, recently I've had a couple of people look at Jupiter through my telescope and tear up. It has that kind of an impact on them.
Because it's so beautiful?
Yeah. So beautiful, Jupiter and its moons and its stripes. You see two stripes on it.
So the first time that happened, maybe it's too long ago to remember. I mean, how do you deal with someone who's standing next to you on a street corner tearing up?
I hug them.
You hug them?
Yeah.
That's the right response. The
other response you get a whole lot is wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, on that response, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in just a minute talking about public astronomy, Popscope, and street corner astronomy. And we're interested in your experience. Is astronomy something you've always been interested in? Have you ever stopped and looked through Herman Hine's telescope, or have you encountered Popscope? And if so, what was your reaction? Call us at 410-662-8780 or send an email to midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. Have you ever wondered which constellations are observable with the naked eye at this time of year? Have you ever studied the night sky and wondered, is that a star or a satellite? I'm joined today by a panel of astronomically inclined individuals, Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long from the mobile astronomy project Popscope, and Baltimore self-proclaimed star hustler Herman Hine. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send an email to midday@wypr.org. Ariel, I asked you a question that didn't really give you a chance to answer it. I'm fascinated by how a conversation that starts up in the heavens gets focused pretty quickly, you say, on issues right here in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that happen, or do you steer it there?
I think it happens because people are suddenly together and they're suddenly forced to interact with one another. And not necessarily forced, that's the wrong word. I think you're there obviously because you want to be there, but it allows people to be together. And then suddenly, if there's like a pause in conversation and there are no questions to be asked, different conversations get started. And so, for example, we work in a neighborhood on the 1500th block of Wolf Street, and it's a rougher neighborhood in Baltimore City. And when we go there, I mean, we wouldn't normally just go there with a telescope, you know, but PopScope gives us a reason to look up and to be with different people throughout the city. And so I think just putting ourselves in those situations that you wouldn't normally be in. Sorry, that's not a super great answer, but
let me ask Joseph to help me understand it.
Sure. So we like to set up in places where there's a lot of foot traffic, so that we can engage people and
I'm trying to understand how a space conversation turns into a community conversation.
So, for example, when we set up at Lexington Market after dark around the time of shift change, it's a big transfer point for buses, for the subway. People are there killing time. We meet their kids. We ask them, you know, where do you work? And, oh, you work for Johns Hopkins Hospital. Well, some members of the PopScope team are connected to Hopkins Hospital in one way or another. How do you like it? And we get to talking about the role of our organization.
Just life in general.
People. How their lives have been going, how they feel about living in the city, things like that.
Cosmic issues.
Yes. Well, local and cosmic.
Local and cosmic. We have lots of people who want to be part of this conversation, and you can too. We're taking emails at midday@wypr.org and phone calls at 410-662-8780. Earl has phoned us from Catonsville. Earl, welcome to Midday.
Hello.
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 Earl, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is for Mr. Hine. I have in my T-shirt collection two T-shirts that I purchased from him in Fells Point many years ago, one with his dog Spike and one with his cat. And I've gotten a bit large in the intervening years, and I wondered if he still sold them because I could use another size.
Earl, I'm totally amazed. This is a great message. I didn't know these T-shirts were still in anybody's mind or venue at all. But my T-shirt experience is a long story. I started with Halley's Comet T-shirts back in the mid-80s. And then when the comet flew away, I went into opera T-shirts.
And when
Grand Opera.
Okay.
Sold them all around the country, New York City Opera, San Francisco Opera, and so forth. And then when I ran out of ideas there, I went into animal T-shirts. And I did my dog Spike, and I did a cat. And both of them had rhinestone eyes. Earl, I'm afraid I've been out of the T-shirt business for about 15 years, and the only ones are around right now are just my archival samples. So I'd love to be able to help you out, somebody wearing one again, but I can't do it.
Earl, I appreciate the phone call, but you've got collector's items. Obviously, you can't get new ones, but neither can anyone else. So you should treasure the ones you have, even if you can't wear them. Thanks for calling us, Earl. Joy has called us from Baltimore. Joy, welcome to Midday.
Hi, Herman. I'm sure you don't remember me because you've
sure I do, Joy.
I just have to tell you how much you impacted me on. I bought my own telescope later, and after I moved away from, I was on Fell Street, and I would come by and sit and talk with you, and you're amazing. You're an amazing man, and what you're doing, it's great.
Well,
Earl, Joy,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. How do you respond to that?
I feel very touched, Joy. And this is what it's all about for me, getting other people interested in science or telescopes, and also really appreciating the night sky and nature's beauty.
Andrew has called us with a question that I probably wouldn't understand the answer to, but I'm grateful if Andrew can raise it. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you. I have a 4.5 reflector. And I want to ask one thing. I'd like to find out what kind of scopes you guys are using. The other is I tell you about the first time we pulled out the 4.5 after I had calibrated it. And I took it to a party at my neighbor's house. And we were just looking around, seeing what we could see. And it was a big bright thing up in the sky. And I pointed it at it. It took me a little while to get it focused up because I'm not very good with it at that point. And I got this big fuzzy blur. And I'm staring at it, fiddling with the focus. And it zeroes in. And I'm looking at this little disc with a ring around it. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm looking at Saturn. I am sitting there looking at Saturn. And I started freaking out. Everybody in the party is coming over. And it was just the coolest thing because you don't realize it's up there until you're, you know it's there. But staring at it and seeing it for real is very, very cool. So if you guys could tell me what kind of scopes you're using to shoot this stuff, to look at this stuff with, I'd be interested. I've always wanted to get a bigger scope and haven't done it yet. And can you see any deep space objects also for Baltimore?
Yeah, so PopScope.
Andrew, thank you for the call.
PopScope, at PopScope, we use 90mm and 70mm refractor telescopes. And we typically only look at Jupiter, Saturn, the Moon, the closer planets. But we don't usually look into deep space. But Herman, what kind of scope do you use?
Excuse me. I have an 8-inch Schmidt Cassegrain telescope, and it weighs in its case 42 pounds. And there are a lot bigger ones, but that's as heavy as I can pick up. So that's the telescope I have.
Wow.
But it shows, getting back to Saturn, it showed, and I can understand where you're coming from with your look at Saturn, your first look. Probably at Space Telescope, there are a lot of people who got interested in astronomy because of looking at Saturn through a telescope. Maybe you.
I actually, I'm young enough that I was turned on to astronomy by the pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope.
Okay.
So it
wasn't your own looking through a smaller telescope that excited you as much as those glorious
pictures. I did get
pictures.
To look through telescopes. One of my grandfathers was a physics professor, and he would take his telescope out every once in a while.
Oh, so this runs in your family.
Oh, yes. I tried to escape it and found myself doing it anyway.
Well, can any of you give a simple answer to someone like me who – sitting here right now, I don't have any sense of the difference between in size or power between Andrew, who described, I think, a 4.5 reflector, and I don't know, I've now forgotten the units. And you talk about a 90mm, and you talk about an 8-inch
diameter front lens.
Okay, and that.
So the main number that tells you how powerful a telescope is the diameter of its primary aperture. So the opening, the big lens or mirror that collects and focuses the light. So
Herman's is 8 inches, and that's a lot bigger than 90mm.
Right. So what we do with PopScope is we're mainly in very well-lit areas, which is great, but it means that the only things we can really see are the moon and the planets. So we additional collecting area wouldn't let us see anything dimmer. It would just let us see more sky brightness. So our telescopes are about, I mean, there would be no benefit to us going to a larger telescope, really, except for additional maybe resolution. But that's why we use a smaller telescope than the one that our caller described.
And Herman, you said yours weighs 42 pounds in its case, and yours are about how heavy?
Ours are maybe like 8 pounds. They're pretty light.
Yeah, it's with all the tripod and gear and whatnot, it might be 15 or 20 pounds.
It makes it very easy to just carry it across town.
We have a call from Ottawa. Adrian, welcome to Midday.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
We hear you, yes.
Oh, so I just wanted to call in and say hi to Ariel and just let her and everybody know that over here at PopScope, we're all listening from all over. I know Montreal was in, and New York and Jacksonville, and I think somebody from Chicago might be listening also. So we're very excited to be representing us there. Yeah.
Adrian, it's so fantastic to hear you. Thank you for calling in.
So Adrian, I gather, is part of the PopScope
Adrian
family?
Adrian is helping lead the Ottawa chapter.
Okay. Adrian, thank you. Thank you for calling us. How much, I mean, I know Baltimore is one of five PopScope projects, but it seems like between being focused on your local community and focused on the heavens, do you also have some kind of ongoing connection to each of these other chapters?
So we try to keep kind of like some beautiful relationships and friendships going between all of PopScope. It's kind of this greater network that provides just connections between people, kind of like our mission here in Baltimore, between people who you wouldn't normally interact with, you know? And so there are tons of people who are involved with PopScope all throughout the chapters. I don't even know how many, but it's pretty cool to see that many people interacting with one another.
Adrian, again, thank you for
Sheila,
calling
may
us.
I interject something about Saturn? Half the people that look at Saturn through my telescope think it's not real. They think it's a fake. And I used to try to prove five different ways that it really is real. I even got a couple letters from local astronomy professors saying that anything that Herman shows through his telescope is real. Now I just say if it looks fake, it's in good focus, and leave it at that.
you've given up actually trying to persuade people.
Yeah. But another thing that's very helpful now is these iPhones or these these sky apps. They can point their iPhone up at the sky and see it's really there. That helps a whole lot.
So night sky allows you to see where all the different planets are located in the sky. So you pull it up on your phone and you point it in whatever direction you want to look, and it shows you, oh, okay, Saturn is over here, or the moon is over here.
So it's not actually showing the planets live. It's showing you the diagram. It's showing you
It superimposes a star chart.
A star chart onto the view of the sky that you're looking at. And so when... Herman, what you're saying is that when the app corroborates what your telescope is showing them, then they're more likely to believe you.
Right, and it's very helpful now.
That is Herman Hine here on Midday on WYPR. Herman is Baltimore's street corner astronomer. Also here with me are Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long, volunteers with a mobile astronomy project, PopScope. We're talking about public astronomy and taking your calls at 410-662-8780 or emails at midday@wypr.org. We got an email from Viva Dadwal. Viva Dadwal is one of the founders of PopScope. And she wrote us to say, what's cool about astronomy is that everyone around the world is basically looking at the same thing when they look up. What we're looking at today is something our ancestors have looked at for centuries. Herman, respond to that.
Yes.
Well, I didn't expect you to argue with it, but I'm just curious as to whether
that... If people look up, a lot of people don't look up anymore, especially because of all the light pollution. And in fact, a lot of people say, oh, you can't see anything tonight. It's cloudy and it's perfectly clear, but it's just the light pollution that makes them think it's cloudy.
Well, we have a caller who wants to talk about exactly that. Maya has called us from Baltimore. Maya, welcome to Midday.
Hi. Thanks for having my call on. I just wanted to see if there were any movements either in Baltimore or around the world or country that, speaking to that light pollution issue. I mean, I taught in Baltimore City for a while, and when I talked about stars with the kids, they don't really have a first-person relationship with them. They don't get an experience where they get to look up and see them because of that the ever-present light pollution. I wonder if we could have like a lights-out night, you know, just for an hour or so, just to be able to look up and see, even if we could just dim the lights a bit.
Maya, thanks. Thanks for the question.
There is an organization. It's an international organization that's fighting light pollution, and I suddenly am pulling a blank on its name.
We'll try to look it up.
Yeah, but it's a serious organization, and it works with lighting manufacturers and businesses and so forth, and cities in particular, to get them to install low light pollution equipment.
This would be equipment that focuses light downward to where humans need it and limits the amount of light that goes
international something, and for some reason I just
we'll try to find it. But is this to what extent do you feel limited by light pollution in what you're doing?
Honestly, for us, I don't feel like it affects what we're doing as much, because if the moon is there, that's good enough for us. A lot of people, you see the moon every night, but you don't always see it in such definition. And so the moon is bright enough to where we can see it perfectly fine.
And I go along with Muriel and Joseph in that my main features are the moon, Jupiter, and Saturn. And then I have a couple fallback positions. But so far as the dim fuzzies or the galaxies or things like that, you can't do them from the city at all.
I've got lots more calls that I want to get to, but we do need to take a short break here. So stay with us as we're going to continue to talk about public astronomy. I'm joined by Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long, volunteers with the Mobile Astronomy Project PopScope, and Baltimore street corner astronomer Herman Hine. And we're taking your calls at 410-662-8780 and your emails at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about all things astronomical today, whether you are young or old, an amateur astronomer, or a professional. Curiosity about stars, planets, and space seems to be universal. I'm joined by Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long, volunteers with the Mobile Astronomy Project PopScope, and Baltimore street corner astronomer Herman Hine. You can be part of this conversation with a phone call to 410-662-8780 or an email to midday@wypr.org. Nancy phoned us from Annapolis. Nancy, welcome to Midday. Nancy?
Hello?
Hi, Nancy, you're on the air.
Hey. I have been dragging my kids out to see like meteor showers for like the last decade or so and watch satellites go over, and then that's grown sort of like, you know, so I've been dragging my friends and neighbors out to see the space station every time I get the notification that it's flying over. So my son the other night woke me up at 12 and said, Mom, he has this telescope that we've never really looked through before, or I haven't. And so we took it out back and we saw the moon and Jupiter, and then we took it to the street and we went and looked at Mars, trying to see Mars and Saturn. And I don't think it's quite a strong enough telescope to see what we wanted to on Saturn, though we could see Mars, but... Where would you go to buy a telescope of the right strength and, you know, reasonable price? Where's the best market for that?
Nancy, thanks for the question. Does anybody
There's an astronomy store over in Laurel called Company 7.
Company 7 in Laurel?
Yes. And also, there are a lot of telescope advertisements in two monthly astronomy magazines that you can find in Barnes & Noble or in other big bookstores. One's called Sky and Telescope, and the other is called Astronomy. They're full of ads for telescopes.
But can you trust the ads?
Oh, yeah, in those magazines.
We get all of our telescopes from Celestron.
This kind of leads us to, Nancy, thank you for the call. This kind of leads us to Don calling us from Parkville. Don, welcome to Midday.
Hello?
Hello, Don. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question was, what sort of publications or books might you recommend people reading in order to really, let's say, sort of get prepared to appreciate what they can do through your telescope programs?
Answer?
Yeah, there's two monthly popular astronomy magazines. One's called Astronomy and one's called Sky and Telescope. If you enjoyed high school math and physics, get Sky and Telescope. If you're a generalist, you can subscribe to Astronomy Magazine.
And so you can...
And they keep you up to date monthly, tell you what's going on in the sky, and also have lots of interesting articles.
And Astronomy will work for you, Astronomy Magazine, even if you don't bring a science background to it.
Right. Astronomy is for generalists.
Don, thanks for posing the question. We got an email from Jim, who says a wonderful website is Spot the Station, which tells you when the International Space Station has visible transits in the area. No telescope is needed, and the ISS looks like a fast-moving airplane, but it has no flashing lights. So that's Jim telling us how to keep track of the space station.
You can actually also get email notifications and cell phone notifications sent to you directly, so you know when it's going to be overhead, so you can prepare.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
That is the
space station. Herman Hein, what is coming up? What will be the news in the night sky?
Well,
what should we be alerted to?
Really, this is not in the night sky. This is in the day sky. There's on August 21st, 2017, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun that goes right across the USA, starting in beginning in Oregon and ending in South Carolina.
And so that's a year from this coming August.
This is August 21st next year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to cover the whole country. But you have to be on a narrow 68-mile wide line, the path, to be able to see it total. Here in Baltimore, it'll be 86% eclipse.
That's pretty close to total.
Yeah, but you don't see the outer atmosphere of the sun, the corona, unless you're right inside that 68-mile line.
Okay. So that's a year and a half from now. Is there anything
yes.
coming up sooner that
well,
we should be?
Well, this full moon coming up, next full moon in a couple days is going to be the smallest full moon of the year. And the largest full moon is of the year for us is going to be November 14th. And then there's the annual Perseid meteor shower, which will occur the nights of Thursday, August 11th, and Friday, August 12th. And they're best after midnight, from midnight till dawn. This is the shooting star shower, known as the Perseids, because they seem to originate from the constellation Perseus.
And when you go out, what hours do you tend to go out? Or I guess that changes
from
depending
sunset
on the time of year.
To say 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Gotcha. And how often do you go out?
Weather permitting. It averages maybe about 60 to 70 times a year.
At Herman Hein's website, which I have here in front of me, www.hermanhein.com. That's HermanHein.com. I'll give it again later. He gives his phone number so you can check if he's planning to go out that night. We were also talking earlier about some other recurring events, astronomy experiences that people can have.
Sure.
Ariel? Okay, Joseph?
Well,
you were talking about the Maryland Science Center.
Oh, well, I was going to give a shout out to my colleagues at the Space Telescope Science Institute,
okay.
because we have a public lecture series. I believe it's the second Tuesday, Herman?
First Tuesday.
First Tuesday at 8 p.m. And that's at the Space Telescope Science Institute, which is located on the Hopkins Homewood campus. You can find information about that on hubblesite.org, HUBBLESITE.org. There's information about new discoveries made with Hubble, as well as our public lecture series.
Right, and the Science Center every week, right?
The Maryland Science Center every Friday night at, I think, 5:30 p.m. Richard Stein is out ready to look through their observatory with anybody who wants to come. It's free, open to the public. It's great for families, and they're open pretty much all year round, even in the wintertime.
Okay, so that's sort of indoor astronomy observation
it's
as
indoor,
opposed to street
it's
corner.
Not indoor. It's very open because you have the observatory has the huge opening for the telescope to look out. So
right, I get that,
right.
But it's not street corner.
No.
It's not what you guys do.
Much more high powered.
Isaac has called us, a colleague of yours from Brooklyn. Isaac,
yes.
Welcome to Midday.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Hi. First of all, Ariel and Joseph, you guys are amazing. You're doing awesome things in Baltimore. I just very quickly wanted to share a story. So I got started in Baltimore with PopScope, and then I moved to New York City in December and have launched a chapter here. And one of the great things about PopScope is being inclusive and really valuing diversity. So one of the first pop scopes that I did in New York City was going to Bed-Stuy, which is a lower income neighborhood, which has, you know, higher rates of crime. And I had a couple friends who lived there, and they were very skeptical about me coming out. You know, they were talking about recent robberies that had occurred, and I came out, and there's just an incredible reaction from the community, especially going to communities where maybe they haven't had the opportunity to look through a telescope or, you know, have a cool science experience. And, you know, almost everyone who walked by was incredibly enthusiastic. People were asking when we're coming back. So, I just want to share how PopScope is a really incredible icebreaker in communities.
Isaac, thank you for calling us. Ariel sort of nodding.
Yes,
and
you,
Herman's
Isaac.
Raised his hand.
It's
yes,
great to hear from you.
Something happened with me last night that I've been waiting 28 years for. That is, somebody looked through my telescope and became a scientist. thanks to looking through my telescope many years ago. He's a graduate engineer, master's degree from Hopkins, and he's applied for the astronaut corps to be an astronaut. Well, and he said he got interested in space through looking through my telescope maybe 20 years ago.
I have read interviews with you where you said you were always kind of waiting to hear that somebody got a PhD in astronomy because that your telescope had turned them onto space. This is even a bigger
night,
deal.
It finally
happened. So we're catching you the day after you sort of reached your goal as a street corner astronomer. That's wonderful. We got an email from Jimmy, who says, I have been a fan of PopScope since I first heard about it in JHU, Johns Hopkins University's Innovation Lab. My comment relates to one of the reasons for its success in building community, and that is the transcendental nature of the night sky. What does the Pop team think about this effect?
First of all, I just want to say hi, Jimmy. I definitely remember our conversation, and it's great to hear from you. I think PopScope is, our approach is very different from what we're doing other people are not doing, and I would agree with Jimmy. That's what's so appealing to it. It's just so different from the way that other people are interacting with the community. What do you think?
It's sort of the reverse of the effect reported by astronauts on the space station or people who have been in orbit around Earth, that looking down at Earth gives you a new sense of perspective. Obviously, we can't give that perspective to everyone with the resources of PopScope as it is now. We're not running shuttles to space. But I think that a lot of people appreciate that looking up at the night sky, thinking of perhaps extra-earthly concerns, sort of takes them out of their day-to-day life and gives them a little bit of cosmic perspective.
I'd also like to add that I have a partner at my telescope occasionally. I have a friend, Phyllis, from St. Louis, who visits Baltimore, and she loves to come out with me, and she's great at chatting up people, recruiting lookers. And by actual count now, she's been out with me 167 times.
You do keep a lot of statistics.
I keep a log.
And so what is your log?
Last night was 2,772.
The number of nights times that you have set up.
Right.
Wow.
For public viewing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Alan has called us from Baltimore. Alan, welcome to Midday.
Thank you. And so from building on that transcendental, my classic 8-inch Celestron Schmidt-Cassegrain has sort of allowed me to find that private part and quiet part of myself. I'm always active and just noisy. And, over the years, taking 30-minute long exposure photographs through my telescope while trying to focus on a single guide star has really kind of allowed me to find that quiet place within myself. In the public perspective, I found Halloween to be the night that I would take my telescope out in front of the house, and you had this audience that was constantly passing through of young children and was able to share just right in front of my house. And I've always used it as an opportunity also to kind of explain the size of the universe and telling them how long and how old the light is that they're looking at in my telescope.
Is that some? Thank you, Ellen, for that insight. Is that something people that kind of stuns people?
I think that we might steal this idea from you. I don't think we've done a pop scope on Halloween before.
We haven't. Not in Baltimore.
Well, this is what was coming to my mind now. I do not take my telescope out anymore on Halloween or on St. Patrick's Day.
Because
on Halloween, it's just too much happening in Fells Point.
Gets also, a little crazy on Halloween.
And also, people have stuff all over their face which smears up the lens. And on St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But this year, instead of my telescope, I took my accordion to Fells Point on St. Patrick's Day and played Irish music on the square. It was very interesting.
Okay, so we've gone from watching the stars to playing the accordion. We're almost out of time, but I just want to share this thought in case you want to respond to it. Ramsey emailed us and is talking about a nice column by David Brooks in the New York Times today describing programs in California to build social capital by bringing people from different walks of life together. Brooks calls it overcoming social isolation. He describes it as a social good. Listening to this show, Ramsey wrote, it seems like what Mr. Hine and the PopScope team are doing is similar. Simply giving people an excuse to spend time together builds community. Does that make sense to you all?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
So we've got just a minute or so left. What is PopScope's future?
Oh, man, the future is so bright. There's so many different directions that we're looking to go with PopScope. First and foremost is to build those community partnerships. So we really want to get people involved on a neighborhood level. So our vision is a telescope for every neighborhood. And what we'd like to do is do exactly that, is give a telescope to as many neighborhoods as we can and empower neighborhood-led pop-up events.
So you expect a lot more pop scoping.
Absolutely.
And Herman Hine, I mean, pop scope is obviously trying to turn young people onto astronomy. But, you know, we're in an age of smartphones and all kinds of other competition.
A park ranger of the night sky. And I want to continue doing that, playing that role as long as I can.
And do you feel like you're up against too many forces grabbing the attention of young people, or is it working?
No. Continue to get a whole lot of interest. No problem there at all.
I really want to thank you all. Herman Hine, Baltimore Street Corner astronomer, thanks for spending time with us.
It's great, Sheila.
And Ariel Hicks and Joseph Long, volunteers with the Mobile Astronomy Project PopScope. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information about Herman Hine, his site is www.hermanhine.com, HermanHeyn.com. He's got his phone number there. You can see what nights he's going out. And lots of pictures at Baltimore PopScope's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Baltimore PopScope. And thank you for listening. Tomorrow at noon, do we really need 3 meals a day? Are there potential health benefits from fasting occasionally? I'm Sheila Cass. That's tomorrow. Stay tuned now for Out of the Box, 200 West Saratoga Street.